Praise be Jesus and Mary. On this Wednesday of Advent, the first day of December, we'll conclude our reflections on the Beatitudes, which we began a month ago, November 1st. We'll conclude with the eighth Beatitude of the Sermon on the Mount, which is, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the kingdom of God is theirs." That's Matthew 5, verse 10. And our Lord gave us a commentary on this Beatitude in the next two verses when he said this: "Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil speech against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Thus they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. So to be persecuted for righteousness' sake means to be mistreated because you're a follower of Christ. Though St. Jerome wisely reminds us that in this Beatitude, Jesus didn't just say, "Blessed are the persecuted," but he talked about being persecuted for righteousness' sake. "Since many suffer persecution for their sins and therefore are not righteous," said St. Jerome. So just because you're persecuted or mistreated for something doesn't always mean you're righteous or you're right in what you're doing. St. John Chrysostom says this. He said, "Blessed are those who suffer persecution for righteousness' sake, that is, for the sake of virtue, for defending others, for piety, since all these things are spoken of under the title of righteousness." This follows the Beatitude regarding the peacemakers, said St. John, meaning the seventh Beatitude, "That we may not be led to suppose that it's good to seek peace at all times," he says. We know even Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8, that there's a time for war and a time for peace. And we know that in this life, there's always a time for persecution as well, if we're being a faithful follower to Jesus. When we're suffering mistreatment and abuse because we're trying to be faithful to our Lord, it's actually a cause for celebration, Jesus says. It's actually only he's the one who can say that and get away with it, right? No one else. If someone else said that, we might be insulted. But Jesus says it. He means it. Why is that? Because he will repay us. We could say he will overpay us for everything we've suffered for him, whether it's from the hands and the mouths of non-believers or even from other followers or supposed followers of Christ. When we are slandered or silenced or abused or ridiculed or oppressed because we're faithful to God and faithful to his church, we'll actually thank God for all of that in the end. St. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:14, he says, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." One of God's specialties is bringing good out of evil, and he promises that he's going to do that for those who really belong to him. Romans 8:28, "All things work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose," says St. Paul. All things, even persecution. If people make fun of you or insult you because you won't do sinful things, or because you're chaste, or because you stand up for the truth, or because you refuse to bow down and bend your knee to the sad and twisted practices and ideologies of the culture of death, well, you're blessed in God's eyes for all that. Every Catholic who's faithful to Christ is a martyr, in the sense that the Greek word for martyr is martus. It means a witness. A martyr is a witness. When we say no to sin, when we say no to compromise and yes to Christ, you're a witness, a martyr for Christ, in the little things and even in the big things as well. Not many of us will get hauled off to the lion's den, or perhaps worse, get dragged in front of the merciless and faithless mass media. But all of us will have something to suffer for Jesus if we're going to be faithful to him. Our Lord said in John 15, verses 18 and 19, he said, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before you. If you belong to the world would love you. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Jesus is so good and so honest. He doesn't give us any illusions about what it costs to follow him. No idle threats, no empty promises from Jesus. There's an old Latin saying. The saying is this: Fortia agere Romanum est, fortia pati Christianum. It translates, it means to act bravely is the part of a Roman, to suffer bravely is the part of a Christian. The eighth beatitude is the one passive beatitude out of all the beatitudes. So it's not a matter of doing something or being something, it's a matter of suffering something. And believe it or not, suffering is more perfect than action. It's more difficult to suffer hard things than to accomplish hard things. Question: what was the greatest part of Jesus' earthly ministry? It was his passion. It was his passio, his suffering and death for us. That was greater than all the words he spoke and all the miracles he performed, that God in Christ would actually suffer for us. So taking the other beatitudes, if you're poor in spirit, if you mourn over evil, if you're meek, if you hunger and thirst for God and for righteousness, if you're merciful, if you're pure of heart, if you bring God's peace to others, then the world will hate you and persecute you, just as Jesus promised. Just try talking about Jesus and about the gospel in any public school or university in the United States, and you'll immediately experience the painful blessedness of the eighth beatitude. Also, most nominally Catholic universities sadly fall under that banner as well. Just as our Lord was betrayed by Judas for money, so too many Catholic universities have followed suit, preferring the path of the fallen away apostle to the path of the persecuted Savior. Very sad. Father Haydock adds in his commentary on the eighth beatitude that heretics and those who do evil do suffer at times, but they are not to be considered blessed because they don't suffer for justice's sake. And St. Augustine adds this, he says, they cannot suffer for justice's sake those who have divided the church. And where sound faith or charity is lacking, there cannot be justice, said St. Augustine. So those who cause division in the church because of their own dysfunction or because of their own lack of humility or because of their own schismatic and heretical practices and beliefs and mentalities cannot boast of being persecuted for the sake of Christ. Just as there are true martyrs for the faith, there are also fake martyrs as well. Counterfeit martyrs, we could call them. The beauty of persecution, to put it paradoxically, is that it's a sign of spiritual success. So if I'm being persecuted for my faith in Christ, then things are probably going the way that they actually should go in this life. Also, persecution separates us from the world. It detaches us from the world and unites us more closely to God at the same time. It detaches our hearts from getting too comfortable down here, when you think about it. So Jesus doesn't want us too comfortable down here. Okay? We were not made for down here. We were made for up there. We were made for heaven. So don't get too comfortable down here. Thankfully, a lot of us don't have to worry about that, right? Persecution also brings us closer to Jesus in his human suffering. The Catechism says at number 530 that Christ's whole life was lived under the sign of persecution. So being persecuted for standing up for what's right puts us in good company, puts us in the company of our Lord and of our Lady. And just as a side note, persecution can also come from the devil as well. Just ask St. John Vianney and Padre Pio and other chosen souls about that. They could tell you stories. Historically speaking, the church typically increases in times of persecution and it decreases in times of prosperity. As riches and prosperity and comfort have increased in the West over the last century, faith has decreased. Psalm 125, verse 3, puts it beautifully, sadly, but beautifully, when it says this, quote, "The scepter of the wicked shall not rest over the land of the just, for fear that the hands of the just should turn to evil." Translation, often God allows the good to be persecuted, because when they aren't persecuted, they easily turn to evil. Persecution and tribulation turn us to God. A life of material wealth and no worries often turns us away from Him. Something to reflect on there. You can think about the Irish, right? Think about Ireland. Centuries of persecution, a good deal of poverty as well, and now much of that's lifted. And are they stronger in the faith now than they were then? That's a rhetorical question. By the way, you don't have to answer that one. Jesus promises those that are persecuted for His sake that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the persecution and suffering will one day end. But for the faithful followers of Christ, joy and love and glory and peace and happiness will never end once we get through this valley of tears. So let's learn to face each day's difficulties with a spirit of faith and trust in God's providence and in His goodness and in His infinite love for us. And let's ask Our Lady, Queen of God's Kingdom, to help us to take to heart these amazing Beatitudes that her Son left for us so that we can begin to live heaven here on earth no matter what's going on around us. Praise be Jesus and Mary.